A few years back, a man named Marcus got a phone call that changed everything. He was 23, first job, first apartment, and he was about to be evicted because he was $300 short on rent. His uncle called and said, "I've got you. $300, no paperwork, no interest, no questions asked." Marcus had his apartment. He kept his job. A year later, he was steady. And here's what Marcus did next. And this is the part that matters. He saved the $300, called his uncle, and tried to pay him back. His uncle wouldn't take it. Said, "That money's not mine. It came to me the same way once. Don't give it back to me. Give it forward." Marcus did not know what to do with that, so he put the money in an envelope in a drawer, and it sat there for 2 years. He kept meaning to do something with it. He kept waiting for the exact right moment, the exact right person. 2 years, the gift was still his. And it was going exactly nowhere. There is an old rule, one that shows up across many cultures, going back a long way, and it says a gift has to keep moving, or it dies. Not spoils, not loses value. Dies. Something real goes out of it when it stops. This episode is about that rule, how a gift moves, why it has to, and what happens to the people and the groups that learn to keep it going. Before we get into how the gift moves, we have to clear away two things that confuse people. Because most of us, when someone helps us, file it under one of two labels. The first label is debt. We felt helped, so now we owe them. We think about the balance, we track the score, and the feeling of owing sits heavy until it's paid off. That weight is real. A lot of people avoid asking for help specifically because they don't want to owe anyone. They'd rather struggle alone than feel that weight. The second label is charity. Someone gave you something. That means you're a receiver, they're a giver, and the flow only goes one way. Maybe that makes you feel small or grateful, but a little stuck or like you can never quite be even. Both labels are doing the same thing. They're turning the gift into a transaction. A debt waits to be paid back. Charity sits at a distance. But the old rule is about something completely different from both. A gift isn't a debt you repay to the person who gave it. And it isn't a handout that goes one direction and stops. It's more like a current. It came from somewhere before the person who gave it to you. It will go somewhere after you pass it on. You are not the start of it, and you are not the end. You are a point in the middle, and the whole job is to keep it going. So here's how it actually works, and why Marcus was confused, and why most of us are. When his uncle gave him the $300, his uncle wasn't giving him his own money. He was passing on something that had come to him once too. Some older person in the uncle's life had done the same thing. Put a hand out when the uncle needed it, with the same quiet instruction, pass it on. So when the uncle called Marcus, he wasn't generating kindness from nothing. He was moving something along. He was a link. And when Marcus asked how to pay it back, his uncle said, "You can't, because you can't return a gift upstream. The person who gave it to the uncle is long gone, or they don't need it back. Or the amount that would repay it isn't money. It's something you do for someone else who's in the same spot Marcus was in." That's the whole trick of it. The gift doesn't travel back to where it came from. It travels forward, to the next person who needs it. It goes around, and here's what that means in practice. When Marcus eventually gave that money to a young woman who was 1 month behind on her car payment, which is what he ended up doing, 2 years later, once he stopped waiting, he wasn't doing charity. He was doing his job in a system. He had something. She needed it. He passed it on. He kept the thing moving. That is the giver and the taker idea in plain terms, not a philosophy, not a label. Just, do you keep the good thing moving, or do you stop it? And the people who stop it, sometimes on purpose, sometimes just out of fear. Those are the places where the flow dies out. The jar sits on the shelf. Everyone downstream gets less. Now, here's the thing most people say at this point in the conversation. And it's a fair thing to say. You might be thinking it right now. What about the people who take and never pass it on? What about the friend who borrows money and disappears? The family member who's always on the receiving end and never once shows up when it's your turn? If I pass my good thing forward and the next person just stops it right there, keeps it, hoards it, never passes it on, then what did I actually do? I just gave something away for free and got nothing back. That's a real thing that happens. It's not a cartoon. Takers exist. People do stop the flow. And the question of what to do about that is one of the most important questions in this whole space. Here is the honest answer. You cannot control whether the next person passes it on. You really can't. You cannot give with a wire attached to it that pulls it back if they don't comply. The moment you do that, the moment your giving comes with a hidden condition, a leash, a test, it's no longer a gift. It's a transaction dressed up as a gift. And transactions don't build the kind of bonds that make communities strong. But, and this matters, the answer is not to give to everyone with no eyes open. A good giver is not a naive giver. Part of the art of giving is reading who's in your circle, noticing over time who passes things on and who doesn't, and choosing where you put your energy. Not as punishment, not as a test, just as good sense. You water the plants that grow, you don't force it on the rocks. And over time, the people who keep passing things on find each other. The flow finds its way around the places where it stops. That's what this whole system is built on. Here's something that took researchers by surprise, and this matters because sometimes you need more than just a feeling about why this works. Studies on how people behave in groups have found again and again that the people who tend to pass things on, who give more than they take in their communities and their workplaces, end up doing better over the long run than the people who hold tight and take. Not in every case, not in every month, but across time, across groups, the give first people end up with stronger connections, more help when they need it, and more of what we'd call real wealth, the kind that isn't just money. What's interesting is the way it works isn't magic. It's because the people around them notice. When you pass good things on, people see it. They remember. They want to be near you. They put you into the chain when something comes through. The flow finds you because you're known to keep it moving. That is the finding. Plain, the people who give more, on balance, pull more back into their lives over time. Not because they're trying to, because they've made themselves someone the flow runs through. Let's go back to Marcus. Because 2 years in, still sitting on that envelope, something finally broke open for him. He'd been waiting for the perfect person, someone who really deserved it, someone who would definitely pay it forward, someone who had the right kind of need. He was going to get this exactly right, and what he finally saw was that those conditions were exactly the problem. He'd turned his uncle's gift into a test. He was going to give, but only to someone who passed. Only to someone whose use of the gift he could already predict, which meant he wasn't giving at all. He was managing. Giving with a leash is not giving. It's a transaction with extra steps. The moment he saw that, he stopped waiting. He gave the money to his coworker's daughter, who needed a security deposit. He didn't know if she'd ever pass anything on. He gave it anyway. And here's what happened next. Not magic, just true. A month later, she told her uncle about Marcus. Her uncle needed someone to trust with a small contract job. Marcus got the work, not because he gave in order to get. Because he gave, and people noticed, and the flow came back around. That's the aha. You can't steer the flow. You can only keep it moving and trust that the people who do that find each other. So here's your one thing this week. And notice it's a give, not a grade. Think of one real thing someone did for you, something that helped, something you've been carrying as a quiet feeling of gratitude, or maybe even a quiet feeling of owing. Don't pay it back. Pass it forward, the same kind of gift, to the next person who needs it. Maybe it was time someone gave you when you were stuck. Give someone time this week. Maybe it was a chance, a word in the right room, a door held open longer than it had to be. Give someone a chance. Maybe it was just honesty, someone who told you the real thing when everyone else was being nice. Be that person for someone this week. You don't have to tell them why. You don't have to explain the chain. Just pass it on and keep it moving. That's the whole move. The old rule is this. A gift has to keep moving or it dies. It doesn't go back to the person who gave it. It doesn't stop with you. It travels forward, person to person, and it lives in the moving. You are not a dead end. You are a link. Every good thing that came to you came through someone who kept it going. Every good thing you pass on goes somewhere you'll never see and keeps going from there. The jar is alive when it's moving. Keep it moving. Next time, we zoom out from one gift between two people and look at what happens when a whole group decides to run this way. A shared jar, everyone putting in, everyone able to draw. That's been happening in communities for a very long time. Watched over, as always, by Daisy.